you can see the title, I am the light of the world, you are the light of the world. And so that's what we want to talk about. It's going to examine Jesus' statement about himself, and then the statement that he made with regards to you and I. And these are powerful truths. These are truths that I hope by the end of the lesson we'll have a greater understanding of, greater appreciation, and see the importance of it in our own life. But to first thing that we want to do is examine this first statement where Jesus says, I am the light of the world, and understand what that means to you and I. So let's read our text in John chapter 8. We're going to read more than just our passage there that was read in our as our scripture. So let's begin in verse 12, and let's read through verse 14. John chapter 8, verse 12 to 14. Jesus spoke of to them again, saying, I am the light of the world. He who follows me shall not walk in darkness, but have the light of life. The Pharisees therefore said to him, You bear witness of yourself. Your witness is not true. And Jesus answered and said to them, Even if I bear witness of myself, my witness is true, for I know where I came from and where I am going, but you do not know where I came from or where I am going. And so we'll stop there, but Jesus makes this statement, I am the light of the world. And what he did not say is that he's bringing light to the world. He said, I am the light of the world. This is one of the I am statements that's found in the Gospel of John. But light actually identifies who he is. And the way that I kind of make that easy for my mind to think is the Bible just says God is love. Jesus is light. And so we want to fully grasp that. Well, the Pharisees, when they heard that in our text, they just thought that was a very bold claim. And they begin to question that. And they say, well, you're bearing witness of yourself, which is not really something that you naturally would do. But Jesus' point his answer points out to them, though this is not natural, you know, not naturally, not normally valid, it's still true. So there might be times, it doesn't negate the fact that what Jesus is saying is, I am the light of the world. And why is it that he says that he is the light of the world? Well, if you look there again at the text, it says, because I know where I came from and where I'm going. So he knows exactly that he came from heaven and that he's going back to the Father in heaven. So that's a truth. I am the light. So he knows where he came from, and so he knows the things that he's saying are true. But what does that mean? And that's what we want to think about. Well, what does that mean? And so what I thought about doing and what I've done in the lesson is I started exploring about what does it mean, light? What is exactly light? Because that's what Jesus said, I am the light. And he's going to tell us that we're the light. Well, one thing that you find out is that light travels at 299,792,458 meters per second. Per second, that's fast. And what I found out when I was actually trying to understand what we know about light, and I think most of us knew that there's a speed of light, but it is a universal constant. It is always true. And there's usually this qualification that in a vacuum. And so there are things that will bend light and things that we understand. And there's a lot to light. But what I want you to understand here is this is a constant number. And something else I guess I didn't really fully understand is that there's nothing that can travel faster than light. Did you know that? Nothing can travel faster. And so physics treats light as a built-in rule of creation. This is just an absolute fact. And it's built into the very fabric of our universe. So think about what I'm saying there with regards to light, and then start in your mind like mine did, okay, what does it mean that Jesus is the light? He is the light. He didn't bring light. He is the light. I am the light. So the speed of light is not merely how fast light travels, but it is the speed limit that God built into the universe itself. In fact, space and time obey its rule. It obeys its rule. Light does not adjust to space or time. See, what I'm getting at is this, it is its own fixed certain thing. Well, what does it mean that Jesus is the light of the world? Jesus is our constant. Period. Period. Jesus, did he conform to the world? Jesus didn't conform to the world. Not one bit. The world is supposed to do what? Conform to him. What is it that we do? We are to conform. My whole life, your whole life is spent what? Conforming my image to his image. It's not the other way around. And so Jesus is our constant. And we have to abide by his standard. He's the constant, he's the fixed, he's the light, and that standard doesn't vary. Just like this speed of light is a constant. And so Jesus is our constant. He is our constant. That's very important. And all the things that we think about Jesus, and again, Tommy led us in footprints of Jesus. It's just, that's a steady walk, always in the right direction, always moving towards the right way. But not only that, I wanted to look at James chapter 1 and verse 17 because passage is a passage that teaches that God, and we looked at this the other day, but it says, every good gift, every perfect gift is from above and comes down from the Father of lights, James chapter 1 verse 17, with whom there is no variation or shadow of turning. There isn't any. Again, God is constant. And I made this point the other day. We don't get up tomorrow and wonder, are things going to be completely upside down? You know, that happens in companies. I remember I used to come in when I worked for Keebler. I'd get to a Walmart store. I would go in. I would get checked in with my cookies, or seems like I usually have to try to go find somebody because there wasn't really anybody there. Well, they were having a meeting in the front. You know what that meeting was about? The night before, this was their manager. The next morning, they got up and they said, here's your new manager. And they did that for inventory reasons. They did that for all these people came in the next morning and everything was different. They're going to have to learn how this manager likes things and what he doesn't like. And trust me, I had to deal with that because now I had a new manager. And I had one manager that met me at the door one time and he says, I hate Keebler. Take those things out of here. Because he just couldn't stand the dealings he had had with other reps. So yeah, can you imagine that we get up tomorrow and we don't have a clue about God? No, God does not change. There is no shadow of turning because there's a constancy there. And that's true of light, and this is true of God, and Jesus is God. And so there isn't any cultural shifts that are, you know, based upon desires. So things just going to change. Well, that's true. See, look at all the trouble we have today because of this idea of cultural shifts, people's desires. And then it clashes. We have division. We have all these problems because it's like, well, that's not right. Oh, no, but this is the way we feel. Well, it's not like that when it comes to Jesus. But the text also tells us, when we go back to John chapter 8 and we look at our text, we also see that we can follow him. We can follow him. Look at John chapter 8 and verse 14. Again, in the text, he says, that I bear witness of myself. My witness is true, for I know where I came from. I know where I'm going. So you can follow him. You can follow him and not walk in darkness because he knows where he's going. He knows where he came from and he knows where he's going. And that's very important because I want to go to heaven and don't you want to go to heaven? So what do you need to do? You need to follow the constant who knows where he's going. He knows where to take us. And that's very important because he came from the Father to earth, And he says, I'm going to return. And that's where he is now. He sits at the right hand of his Father in heaven. So yeah, he knows the way. And that's why it's so powerful in John chapter 14 and verse 6 when he says, I am the way, the truth, and the life, and no man comes unto the Father except through me. You cannot get to heaven if you do not go through Jesus. So any world religion, no matter how beautiful people think, no matter how wonderful they think that, oh, this part is so good, if they do not go through Jesus, then they're not going the right way. Because you have to follow him. Brother Gary mentioned in his prayer, as he often says, that we follow the path that's lit up, that the Word of God is a lamp to our feet and a light into our way. That's how important the Word of God is. So Jesus does. We sang the song again, footprints of Jesus that make the pathway glow. That's what we just sang. It says it lights up the way. So I don't know if you saw the title and changed it. I don't think you did. Maybe you did, but it fit very well. Because we're talking about Jesus is the light. And so Jesus can show us the way. We follow him and he shows us the way. Look at John chapter 1, back up in the Gospel of John. John chapter 1, begin reading with me in verse 4. He says, in him was life, and the life was the light of men. And the light shines in the darkness, and the darkness did not comprehend it. There was a man sent from God whose name was John. This man came for a witness to bear witness of the light, that all through him might believe. He was not that light, but was sent to bear witness of the light. And so that was the work of John. Verse 9 says, this was the true light which gives light to every man coming into the world. So Jesus is this light, constant. We're to follow him, and he shows us the way. He was and is the light. John chapter 12 and verse 46. Flip over, if you would, to John 12 and verse 46. I mentioned in our class on Wednesday night when we were talking about the different gospels and they had a different purpose. You remember I was talking about John's gospel was to show with evidence that Jesus is the Christ. We're staying right here in John because he has these powerful statements. I am the light. I am the way. And here he says in John chapter 12 and verse 46, Jesus said, I have come as a light into the world that whoever believes in me should not abide in darkness. So you don't have to dwell in darkness. You can follow him and you cannot walk in darkness. And what is it about darkness? Well, darkness disappears when you turn the light on. And so Jesus lights up the way, and if you stick close to him and follow him, and he's going to show you the way to go, and there's a constant, do you have stability in your life? There's a lot of people that don't know where they're going. They have no direction in life, and you feel sorry for them, don't you? And you sit and think, boy, if they could just follow the Lord, life would be, they would have purpose, they'd have direction. We're so blessed. We're so blessed. Because we can follow Jesus. And those of us that are here, that's why we're here. We're trying to follow Jesus. And we don't want to be in darkness. So look at a few passages with me. Look at John chapter 10 and in verse 27. This is why Jesus would say, as he's got this discussion of sheep, we looked at him being, we looked at sheep not long ago. My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. What are sheep supposed to do? Follow him. In John chapter 12 and verse 26, Jesus says, if anyone serves me, let him follow me, and where I am, there my servant will be also. If anyone serves me, him my Father will honor. He can say, follow me. Follow me. Matthew chapter 16 and verse 24. Matthew chapter 16 and in verse 24, going out of John over to Matthew's account, the passage reads, if anyone desires to come after me, let him deny himself, take up his cross, and do what? Follow me. I will show you the way. So there isn't any doubt. There isn't any doubt at all that we can follow Jesus. He's not one light among many. Do you understand? That's another thing. He's not one light among a bunch. He is the light of the world, showing us the way. So now we want to make a transition here over to the second part of that, and that is, you are the light of the world. Jesus says, I am the light of the world. You are the light of the world. Well, what does that mean, that Jesus is a light? Well, Jesus also said in Matthew chapter 5 and verse 14, you are the light of the world. So let's look at Matthew chapter 5 and in verse 14, which is where the second half comes from. This is in the context of where he says, you are the salt of the earth. And he says, you are the light of the world, there in verse 14. So as a disciple, a follower of Christ, I have to become, and I must be, a light to the world. And so we understand and we start thinking about that and we start saying, yes, people have to see Christ living in me. And that's exactly right. That's why Paul could say, follow me, because I'm following Christ. And he could say in Galatians chapter 2, verse 20, where he says, I am crucified with Christ. Yet it's not I that lives, but Christ living in me. Christ is living in me. And that's what we're looking for. Because we want to let Jesus, again, direct us, and we follow him. And so there is this living for Christ. And we have to make that personal to where it's Christ living in me. And that I am going to be a light unto the world. So let's look at the other part of that. So let's read verse 15 and 16. I'm in Matthew chapter 5. So 15 says, nor do they light a lamp and put it under a basket, but on a lampstand, and it gives light to all who are in the house. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. So there are three important things, if you look at this text with me, about being a light. You are the light of the world. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hid. And so you don't hide your light. There's three things, quick things here. Christians are a light, so you don't hide your light. And then what are you supposed to do? You're supposed to let it shine. You're supposed to let it shine before men. So people need to see your light shining. And then he also says that the world may see your good works when you let your light shine. And then what are they going to do? They're going to glorify your Father in heaven, verse 16. So those three things, don't hide your light, let your light shine before men, and that's good works, that's how you let your light shine. All right, so keep those three things in mind when we think about, okay, we're a light. Well, let me tell you something more about the properties of light. And then as I was looking more into this, and we're coming back to this, because we are then called light, what are some properties of light? Well, light travels in a straight line. And that's going to correlate with you and I as a Christian. Because if you start thinking, why in the world would we be called light? Why use the word light? Because light travels in a straight line. Light doesn't zigzag all over the place. It doesn't do that. It travels straight. So think about that. Now, what kind of application would you make? Well, when I was thinking about that, it became pretty evident and pretty clear that that would mean that the walk of a Christian is a straight line, moving straight ahead. We travel on a narrow road. The old King James is straight. We all often think of a straight and narrow way. But it's not meant to be zigzagging all over the place. Jesus gave us a straight line. It's the same work John, his work was to fill in every valley, bring down any mountain, make this very flat surface, and point an arrow right to Jesus and say, there he is. You don't get right, just go right to him. And then Jesus comes along and he zigzags all over the place. No, he runs a straight course. And so that's who we're supposed to be. As Christians, we walk straight ahead. Look at Proverbs chapter 4. Hold your place. Proverbs chapter 4. We have a good proverb. We've been looking at some of the proverbs in the lessons. I had mentioned that there's a lot that correlates to the Proverbs in about any lesson that you find. Proverbs chapter 4, verse 25 reads, "Let your eyes look straight ahead and your eyelids look right before you. Ponder the path of your feet and let all your ways be established. Do not turn to the right or to the left. Remove your feet from evil." Is that not making the point? Stay straight ahead. Don't wander off the path. Move towards heaven, following Jesus. I don't know if you noticed. I didn't notice it the first time I watched it, but I noticed that as Barry was behind Jeremy going through those streets, Barry kept looking down. And then right before they changed the scene, he almost put his hand on Jeremy, it looked like, because it was like he was really watching carefully his path. I mean, they're on cobble kind of stones, and he was walking, and I could just imagine following somebody and thinking I'm going to step on his heel, and I don't want to trip in front of them filming me behind me kind of stuff. But I hadn't noticed that, but I wondered, you know, I was like, he's being careful. You could see he was walking carefully, and that's the thought here. The gate is narrow, the way is difficult. Matthew chapter 7, verse 13 and 14. "Enter by the narrow gate, for wide is the gate, broad is the way that leads to destruction, and there are many who go in by it, because narrow is the gate and difficult is the way which leads to life, and there are few who find it." So the gate is narrow, the way is difficult, but we press on. And we move in a straight line. So if your life's all over the place and zigzagging all over the place, then you're not doing a good job following Jesus, the constant, who's walking straight the way, right back to where he came from. Well, light separates darkness. It's separate, two different things. In fact, that's what's said back in Genesis chapter 1, when God made light. Genesis chapter 1, verse 14. God said, "Let there be lights in the firmament of the heavens to divide the day from the night, and let them be for signs of seasons, for days and years." Light is separated from darkness. That's the truth about light. If I turn off the lights right now, like we do when we watch the video earlier, it gets dark in here, doesn't it? They're two separate things. And so you can understand, well, what would be the application? Well, Christians are supposed to be separate from the world, which is often described as darkness. And so that's taught in 2 Corinthians chapter 6. And we understand this passage. It's very, it lists any number of different things for us to latch on to. Beginning in verse 14, "Do not be unequally yoked together." I'm in 2 Corinthians 6. "Do not be unequally yoked together with unbelievers. For what fellowship has righteousness with lawlessness? What communion has light with darkness?" What's the point? There is no sharing. There is no fellowship. Two different things. They are completely separate from one another. Light is light. Darkness is darkness. Jesus said, "I am the light." He's separate from darkness. In him was no sin. What are we being called to do as the light of the world? Walk in the light. Be separate from darkness. Come out of it. And so he continues. He says, "What accord has Christ with Belial? Nothing. What part has a believer with an unbeliever? Nothing. What agreement has the temple of God with idols? Nothing. For you are the temple of the living God. As God has said, I will dwell in them, walk among them. I will be their God. They shall be my people. Therefore, what? Come out from among them and be separate, says the Lord. Do not touch what is unclean, and I will receive you." Come out from among them. Be separate. You are light. You are not darkness. And that's a property of light, and that is a property of a Christian. We live in the world, but we're not of the world. We also can see that light is constant, and it is consistent. I mentioned that before when we were just talking about Jesus as a constant. Well, that fits for us too. Now, we sin, but we're supposed to have a constant and a consistent life. The speed of light doesn't change. I mentioned that earlier. It doesn't change. It's a constant. It does not conform to the world. the world conforms to it. Now, are we supposed to conform to the world? No, we already established that. Light and darkness don't go together. They're separate. And so we're being called to be constant and consistent. So we're not the light. We're not light like Jesus is light. You understand that? He is the light. You are the light of the world. We aren't like the source. You can't say Stacy is the light. You understand what I'm saying? Maybe in your mind think of a capital L. But I am to be a light. And you understand the reflective nature of that when it comes to following Christ. But when you think about the application, we're supposed to be constant and consistent with our good works as a Christian. Remember, you are the light of the world. How do we show that we're the light? How do we shine our light? Through the good works that we do. So that's a constant and continuous thing. So look back on your life and you might look back and think, you know, there's times in my life I just don't do anything. And then I kind of wake up and get the fog out and I get busy again and I get on fire and a little zealous, and then I just kind of fade back into, that's not being constant nor consistent, is it? And so as light, we are called to be such. So turn over to 1 John in chapter 1, because he talks about God being light and you and I walking in the light. So let's read this particular text. I kind of briefly referenced it, but let's look at it, beginning in verse 5. This is the message which we have heard from him and declare to you, that God is light and in him is no darkness at all. If we say that we have fellowship with him and walk in darkness, we lie and do not practice the truth. So I cannot be professing to be walking in the light and not, because what I'm doing is I'm being deceptive and I'm lying and I'm not practicing truth. But if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanses us from all sin. So there is that constant walking, that constantly walking in the light. And it's a consistent walk. It is not something that's hit and miss and in and out. It's not that at all. So you can see just how important it is for every one of us to be letting our light shine each and every day. Each and every day. To bring glory to God. And that others can see that light in us, those good works, and it brings glory to God. And so we want people to see us behaving differently than what others are. You know, when things are in disarray and there's not unity in a situation out there in the workforce, they need to see we're handling that much differently than everybody else. Everybody else is getting mad. We're staying calm. We don't want them to see our language turn vulgar in rough situations. They need to see somebody who, even in difficult circumstances, will not do that, because you're setting an example. When everybody else may be pursuing riches and climbing a ladder or whatever the case may be, you're content and happy because you realize you can't take it with you. You see, all the principles and all the things that we understand about following Christ, we put them into practice. We put them into practice. And others see that. They see us being compassionate. They see us caring about others instead of stabbing them in the back. And it makes a difference, because there's a lot of people that just get tired of that kind of stuff. And they start thinking there's got to be something better. And then they think of, well, what makes you so happy? What makes you have direction and purpose? Why is it none of these things seem to bother you? Because you just say, well, I'm just happy to be here. I'm just happy to have a job. Why is it you always whistle while you work when everybody else is miserable? You see, because you know why you're working. You know how important that is. You understand what God calls you to do. Whatever you do, do it with all your might. Do it heartily. Show a different spirit, a different attitude. It makes a difference. It makes a huge difference. So how people see us each and every day is how we let our light shine. And it just may be that example that they then would say, what are you doing? Well, let me tell you about Jesus Christ. I want to look at one other passage by way of invitation, and that's found in Acts chapter 26. So this is Paul, and he's recounting his conversion before Agrippa. And I've always loved this passage because we don't have it recorded back in Acts chapter 9, when Paul is converted, that Jesus said these things. But then we come further into Paul's life, and here he says, well, this is what Jesus told me. And you're going, oh, I didn't know he told you that. And here's what Jesus said to him in verse 18. Well, back in 17. I will deliver you from the Jewish people as well as from the Gentiles to whom I now send you. I'm going to send you to the Gentiles. What are you going to do, Paul? You're going to open their eyes in order to turn them from darkness to light. What's the gospel going to do? Turn you from darkness, and put you in the light, point you in the light, guide you by the light of the word. Follow Jesus. That's what you're going to do. You're going to open people's eyes. You're going to turn them from the power of Satan to God. That's what the gospel does. Takes you out of the realm of darkness and wickedness and sin, and it puts you in the kingdom of God. And that they may receive forgiveness of sins. That's how you have your sins forgiven, by the gospel of Jesus Christ. And an inheritance among those who are sanctified by faith in me. And then there is this inheritance from the Heavenly Father. That's what the gospel does. Takes a person out of darkness, puts them into the kingdom of light. Takes them out of the power of Satan and puts them into the kingdom. There's a forgiveness of sins when one obeys the gospel, when they're taken from the darkness and placed in the light. So now a person is a child of light. They're children of light. They're walking in the light. And then there is this inheritance, be faithful unto death, and I'll give you the crown of life. And so there's the wonderful hope of the promises that have been given unto all of us. And Jesus has provided the way. Just follow him. Follow him. Deny yourself, take up your cross, and follow him. You might be here this morning, and you need to obey the gospel of Jesus Christ. You've not yet surrendered your life to him. Why not come having turned from your sins? There has to be a will to do that. A willingness to confess your belief in Christ, a willingness to submit yourself to the waters of baptism to wash your sins away, and come up out of the water to walk in newness of life, having the hope of eternal life. That's not it. Now you live the gospel, and you're faithful at it, and constant and consistent, but you've got a perfect way, and it's going straight back to God, and you follow Jesus. If you're a child of God and you've been wavering and you haven't been doing the things that you need to do, we want to encourage you to make things right with God before it's everlastingly too late. Maybe there's prayers of encouragement that are needed. If we can help anyone in any way, we invite you to come as we stand and sing.